Everybody, good afternoon. I would like to welcome everyone to the Tuesday, January 26th, 2021 virtual Zoom City Commission meeting. This meeting is being conducted remotely where all members of the City Commission and staff are in separate locations and not at City Hall. Before we start the meeting, I'd like to go over some housekeeping items. Today's meeting is being recorded. Those tuning in will notice that all participants, with the exception of the commission and some city staff members, are muted and video has been disabled. With this said, we will allow participants an opportunity to speak during public comment periods. If you wish to speak during public comment, there's a toolbar either at the top or bottom of your screen that will appear when you hover over it with your cursor. Click on the word participants and a box will open on your screen showing a list of participants. And at the bottom of that box, you can click on raise hand. This will be seen by the meeting facilitator and you'll be unmuted at the appropriate time to ask your questions or give input. During the time you're unmuted, please make sure that you don't have any background noise such as TVs, radios, and so forth. Even the shuffling of papers can be picked up and cause disruptive audio feedback through the microphones. All of our standard procedures will be adhered to, such as stating your name, an address when called on, comments will be kept to 5 minutes or less, and inappropriate language will not be tolerated and will result in being immediately muted and possibly removed from the meeting. If you are unsure how to virtually raise your hand to participate in discussions, you can call 582-0336 at any time during the meeting. An executive assistant, Barb Brooks, will be happy to assist you with the process. I would like to thank everyone in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work our way through this afternoon's meeting agenda. With that being said, I'd like to call the meeting to order and let's start with, yes.
I just noticed that Commissioner Grunch is not with us. So I don't know if you want to proceed or I was going to give him a call and see where he's at. I didn't notice that earlier.
Yeah, why don't you give him a call?
I mean, you can work your way through the minutes and roll call and that type of stuff if you want, or else you can wait, whichever you prefer.
We'll give you a minute here. Why don't you make the phone call?
Will do. Bye.
Thanks for your patience, everyone. Ron Grunch, our fellow commissioner, we need to get him online with us.
Thank you.
Tom?
Yes.
I was able to reach Commissioner Grunsch. He's having technical difficulties. I'm going to send him another link, so he's going to try and come back in. So if you could please stand by.
Thank you.
I'm on the phone with Ron right now.
Okay.
Okay, Ron's going to be joining us through my speakerphone here. Ron, can you say hello to the commission?
Hello, everybody. Sorry to hold things up.
Thanks, Ron. Welcome back. Thanks, everybody, for your patience. Let's, let's see, what time is it at? 12:17. Let's call the meeting to order, and let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible,
liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Caroline, can we do a roll call, please? And please state your location.
Caroline, we're not hearing you. Barb, Patrick, you seen Caroline out there on her cell phone? Starts with 262.
I'm looking for her right now.
Yep, she's there. I just asked her to unmute.
Ah, now you can hear me.
Okay, Caroline, thank you.
Yes.
Can you do roll call, please, Caroline?
Absolutely. Conklin?
Here, remotely, Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Grunch?
Here, calling from home, Boyne City.
Needhammer?
I'm here from my home in Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Paige?
I'm here from my home in Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Solomon.
Here participating from my home in Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Thank you. Let's move on to the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item or items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have five items. Item A, approval of the January 12th City Commission regular meeting minute, draft minutes as presented. Item B, approve of the January 12th City Commission special meeting draft minutes as presented. Item C, approval of the Board of Review recommendation to reappoint Rose Rao to a 3-year term expiring January 31st, 2024. Item D, accept the resignation of Pete Friedrich from the Economic Development Corporation, EDC, and the Local Development Finance Authority, LDFA. And E, approve the EDC and LDFA recommendation to appoint Craig Saghetti to fill the remainder of the terms on each board expiring March 11th, 2012. Is Craig with us, Barb? He was invited, but I don't think he's with us.
I don't see anybody by that name.
Okay.
I don't recall seeing him. And Tom, I think you meant to say March 11th, 2022, not 2012.
Thank you. March 11th, 2022. Just for clarification, Pete Friedrich retired from IMI and Craig Saghetti is the CEO of IMI. So that's a pretty clean transition. Is there anyone from the staff or the public or commissioners that have any comments on the consent agenda? And if not, I would entertain a motion.
I would move we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Yeah, I think, Mike, you muted, but you hear Ron.
Yeah, back again.
They couldn't hear you. I had muted myself, Ron. Sorry, I forget I'm working for two here.
Okay.
If you could say I again so Caroline can get it. Yeah, thank you.
Need Hammer.
Tom, you're muted.
This is Tom. Aye.
Paige.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to citizens' comments. Is there anyone in our audience? Any hands up, Patrick or Barb?
I don't see any hands up at this time.
Okay. Moving on to correspondence. I don't see anything on the agenda under correspondence, and let's move on to city manager's report. Mike?
Thank you, in my unmuted form here. Just to let you know, our trail grooming equipment has been assembled and tested out a couple of times. We've noted that the amount of snow that is actually on the trail we want to groom, the new Boyne Valley Trail, is still too thin for grooming yet. And we're waiting for the John Deere Gator tracks from Bombardier in Canada to arrive. They're still delayed due to COVID-19. So we're getting everything prepped and ready to go once all the equipment and snow arrives. The wood shop is working on the design of the signage for the grooming of the Boyne Valley Trail. With the recent snow and cold weather, Avalanche is open for both sledding and skating, and Commissioner Conklin shared some photos with me that I'll share with the rest of the commission after the meeting. The warming house is staffed for the distribution of skates, but due to COVID is not open for people to come inside. The new safety fencing that was recently installed on the sledding hill at Avalanche to keep people from sliding all the way from the top, which has been an area of concern, didn't last long and was destroyed this weekend. Numerous poles were broken off and people got hung up in the netting. So as a result, since it was creating an unsafe condition, it was removed on Monday. But it was a very busy weekend at the park. The Boyne City Main Street program recently received its final impact report from the Michigan Main Street program. Copies have been printed, and it is also available on the on the Main Street website, social media, and in the Chamber Main Street e-newsletter. The Boynton City Main Street program is in the process of updating its funding plan, and they have put out a survey as part of their renewal effort. And so far, in the first few days, over 60 responses were received. We provided a link, which is also available on the Main Street website as well, and encourage people to share their thoughts with regards to that as well. On Thursday of last week, our marijuana engagement task force met, reviewed what's going on in other communities, and discussed effective ways to engage with the public, which has been severely limited with the COVID-19. The group basically felt that at this point, it should continue to investigate ways to communicate with the public and hopefully be able to do so this summer or fall as things, we hope, improve. So that group is now looking to meet again in April and take stock of where the situation is at that point. The first of our two electric vehicle charging stations, this one in the northwest corner of the parking lot by the library, was fully activated on Saturday. You can see it in the middle of your picture of your screen there, and was turned on by Consumers Energy late last week. In the photo we have on the left-hand side, Mike Castiglione, who helped us line up the grant for that project. In the middle are the two gentlemen that are the principals for Hogg Automotive that is putting in the two sites, and myself. Construction on our other site on River Street near East Street and Old City Park is currently underway. It is hoped that that one will be operational by the end of February. Both of those systems charge for the use. It's 29 cents a kilowatt hour. There is also a free charging option available from Great Lakes Energy in their parking lot, on the north side of their parking lot by their solar panels. The members of the union representing our police officers have voted to switch their membership to the Michigan Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council. The new DPW plow truck has recently been received from Truck and Trailer Specialties, and here's a picture of it on your screen right now. The operators have been testing it out to make sure that everything works correctly. It replaces another truck that we have that was 17 years old. We'll keep that one in the fleet for about a year to serve in a backup capacity. But this one is ready to go when the next snow comes. Currently they're checking everything out without snow, and we'll get the real test once the snow comes. The contractor for the new pump, which is being installed in the Rivermouth Pump House, have it mainly in place, as you can see here. And they're getting the final piece of pipe, which would go between that the blue valve assembly that you see and the light pink in the bottom right corner of the picture. And we hope to have that pipe and have it installed and hopefully operational by the end of the week. We're currently out for bids on janitorial services for city offices, DPW, airport terminal, things of that nature, and our public restrooms. Those bids are due on February 11th. This morning, I began my annual Michigan Municipal Executives Winter Institute, also via Zoom, and that continues through Thursday. A reminder that the Michigan Municipal League is sending out reminders with regards to their upcoming capital conference that'll be held March 16th and 17th. And again, if any commissioners have feedback on that or are thinking that they won't participate, let me know that, hopefully by the end of this week so I can make our reservation. And at this point, it looks like the group rate would be the best for us. So if you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, any questions for Mike?
Ron, did you have something?
No, I just said thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this is Dean. I did have one question about the MML conference. It looks like our all-day budget meeting is on the 17th. I'm wondering if that'll conflict with any critical parts of the conference.
Yeah, Caroline brought that to my attention as well earlier this week, and I was going to review the schedules of both and see if we need to make any adjustments. Fortunately, we have a little bit of time to take a look at that, Dean. But I'll go through their agenda and see what we need to do.
Great, thank you.
Mike? In regards to Avalanche, I don't know if we want to get too deep into it, but I want to say that I appreciate what the city tried to do with the netting on the hill. It seemed to work when it was in place, but now that it's gone, are we just going to leave it open this season and then work on a more long-term plan in the off season?
I'd refer that to Tim to see if he has any thoughts on that at this point. We have not discussed it internally yet, Hugh. Tim, did you have anything you wanted to say
Tim.
At this point?
And sorry, it just took me a while to get unmuted there.
Yep.
The Avalanche base plan that Beckett and Rader came up with during our master plan process last year recommended doing some grading on the hill in order to better define a young kids and an older kids slope. And that would really be the next best step in addition to doing some plantings on the hill to limit how high people can launch from.
You might notice too, there were some braces to assist young children to skate. Is that working out okay? Or are they being used?
You're still muted, Tim.
Yeah, the unmuting is not working properly for some reason. All the braces were destroyed also. So I got a price yesterday on purchasing some replacements that would be manufactured out of resin, and I'd hope to get those purchased or ordered at least today or tomorrow. It'll take about a week for those to show up.
Tim?
Yep.
Yeah, you weren't labeled as a co-host. I got you labeled as one now, so your muting, unmuting should work better now.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, you. I echo your concerns or comments about Avalanche. I thought the fencing had a defined role and it worked good, but unfortunately, people were, they wanted to go higher and they tore down the netting, which is, I'm just so disappointed, but thanks for trying, Tim. I have a quick question on the custodial service. Is the company that did it last year, they're still going to put a bid in? Is this just a standard procedure to open bids?
They are eligible to put a bid in.
Okay, thank you.
We anticipate that they will.
Okay, very good. Any further questions, commissioners? Okay, reports of board, officers, boards, and standing committees. What we have in our packet is the November and December financial statements. Commissioners, any questions for Caroline? Okay, moving on to, we do not have any old business. Let's move on to new business. Item A, Old City Park Gazebo Construction Service Contract. Tim?
Thank you, Mayor. As was discussed at the last City Commission meeting, approval was sought to negotiate a guaranteed maximum price contract with Kroondike Construction for this project, as well as the Rivermouth Restrooms renovation project. We met about a week after the last City Commission meeting with Kroondike, also with Mark Fowler and Larry Fox, that is Mike and I did, to review the scope of work and the pricing and finalize that. It's, you know, pretty much as was described previously, the work would involve jacking up the existing roof structure and then replacing each post at a time. Replacing the existing wooden posts with a, what is a fiberglass reinforced polymer post. It's a much stronger, long lasting post that requires very minimal maintenance during its life cycle. And then once the posts are done, replacing the railings and balusters in between each one of those posts and any of the decorative moldings that are on the existing Victorian type design. So the final piece of the puzzle was to include some cost for power washing, priming and painting, and making a few repairs to the underside of the existing roof structure, which would be salvaged. And that was included in this latest proposal from Kroondike. The total cost is $42,875. And if the City Commission agrees to move forward now, then the materials would be ordered and some of the work would be performed in this fiscal year, and then the balance would transcend into the next fiscal year. So $32,875 would be charged to the current year and $10,000 into next year's recommended budget. So it looks like, if the commission wanted to move forward, we would have the project completed by somewhere between the second week of June and July the 1st. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Tim. Is there any other input from our department heads or citizens?
Tom?
Yes.
I fully support Tim's recommendation that he's presented to the commission. This is consistent with the discussion we had at our last City Commission meeting. And in order to meet the timeframes that we talked about and that Tim outlined here today, it's important to get moving with it now. Obviously, if the commission chooses to, it doesn't have to proceed with this at this time, but it would push the project back beyond July 1st start. Completion, excuse me.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Is anybody in our audience have their hands up?
There are no hands raised at this time.
Thank you. Let's go to board deliberation. Ron?
Ron, did you have any feedback on this item?
No, I'm good with it.
Thank you, Ron. Dean?
I'm good with it as well. I'm glad that we're going to be able to move forward on this project and complete it by July 1st. Presumably this summer, we might be able to be a little bit more active and allow folks to enjoy the park and the gazebo a little bit more fully.
Thanks, Dean. Sally?
Good with it.
Okay. Hugh?
Tim, the only question I had, that doing this work will make the gazebo good as new, right?
Yeah, that's correct. The only other thing that we've discussed with Paul Burden Jr. Was the desire to clean that copper roof that clads the exterior of the roof structure. And that could be done at a minimal cost. It's mostly going to be some manual labor and whatever cleaning agents would be required in order to refurbish that copper.
Thank you.
Tim?
Yes.
If I may, Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Mike.
Just kind of following up with regards to that roof comment. Tim, if that was cleaned, is there any type of a sealant or anything that could be put on that to have it kind of tie in more so with the roof elements that we have at the Marina Lighthouse or on the pavilion shelter?
Yes, there is. And that's what we would research. I know that Bob had coordinated that when both the Marina building and the Veterans Pavilion projects were done previously.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. I'm in full support. At this time, I would entertain a motion.
I would move the City Commission award a contract to Krundai Construction for the repairs to the Old City Park gazebo project at a cost not to exceed $42,875 and recommend that the city manager execute the documents.
I would second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Good news. Okay, thank you. Let's move on to item B, Chamber of Commerce Winter Festival Smeltania Request. I know Kim is with us. Do we have someone from the staff? We're just going to turn this over to Kim.
I can start out, Tom.
Okay.
For some period of time, Kim has been discussing and raising the possibility, and we've been looking at options on how to use the pavilion and, again, help our businesses during this time and beyond. Kim brought up the possibility several weeks ago with regards to some type of a winter festival, and they're looking to bring back the Smeltania name, at least with a toss to nostalgia back there. And what they're proposing in coordination with the health department seems very viable, very safe. Obviously, we would look at whatever the current conditions are and restraints at that time, but this is something that the staff feels is workable and fully supports their request.
Thank you, Mike. Let's turn it over to Kim. I know she's in the audience.
Hi, thank you to the commission for hearing our request today. So basically, we have been trying to figure out something that we can do in this winter season to kind of help promote the businesses. So this came up and we worked with a couple of restaurant owners and our events committee. And since I've been here, I've heard rumblings about bringing Smeltania back. And so we just thought this would be an opportune time to do it. The restaurants will basically be allowed to be in the pavilion. They'll serve food out of a garage door, so no public will be in the pavilion. We're looking at the possibility of having an area where they could sell cocktails as well, but I can't say that that's going to be a for sure. Their gathering size right now is 25 for outdoor, and that's not going to be worth it to do that. So I have a call scheduled with the Liquor Control Commission. This order only goes to the 21st, so that very well could change, but we're going to look through the logistics of this and see what it's like. The food will happen. We have a scavenger hunt around the town planned that people can safely do. Still working on a couple items. You know, it's difficult, as you all know, to make sure that we meet all the COVID guidelines. We'll be doing a shopping event similar to Earlier Than the Bird that the businesses can participate if they want to from 1 to 6. So just trying to give a little boost. We have plans hopefully for next year to make this bigger and grow it and bring it back as an annual festival. COVID or not, I think the winter in Boyne City is tough for our businesses. So we have some ideas for next year, but right now it's just initial planning. The things that we know for sure we can do are the food, the scavenger hunt, the shopping event, and more details to follow with regards to the alcohol portion of it.
Thank you, Kim.
Tom?
Yes, Mike.
I should mention too, this is consistent with our past practices. Usually when there's a new event that we haven't done before, we bring it to the City Commission to make sure that it is consistent with the commission's plans and desires. And then they usually, you know, if it's approved, then unless there's some major issue, it's basically kind of given the green light for going forward in the future. So that's why this was brought to you. It's a, you know, even though Smeltania is old, it hasn't been done in a long time. So this is in, at least in my mind, a new event. And that's why it's before you today.
Thank you, Mike. Is there any comments from any other staff members and or the public?
There are no hands raised at this time.
Okay. Let's go to board deliberation. Dean?
Yeah, you know, of course, I have no familiarity with Smeltania, both by age and then by length of time in the community. But I found this article by Bob Morgridge, you probably saw it, The Fish That Saved Boyne City. Really good article, and it was one part of it was talking about how the residents and visitors lined the river, and apparently you dipped smelt at night under lights, and it said the chill air reverberated with the hearty laughter of spectators lining the bank. Only a small percentage of the people actually dipped, that is, caught smelt. The real thrill for most of the crowd, many fortified with alcohol, was seeing the crazy mob dash into the river. Now, I assume that's not what we're looking for this particular iteration of Smeltania, but I thought it was really cool, you know, that historical connection. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how this new event develops over the years and makes that tie to a really interesting part of Boyne City's history. I'm also pleased that you're taking so much rigor in making sure that this event is safe and done in, you know, strict accordance with not only the regulations, but recommendations by our health officials.
Thank you, Dean. Good story. Sally?
Yeah, I think it's a cool idea. I remember 40 years ago, I used to go smelt dipping, believe it or not. And I had no idea there was that history here. So I look forward to it.
Hugh?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for working so hard on this, Kim.
Yep, thank you.
Ron?
Yeah, I'm good with it too.
Okay. I'm in full support, and I do have many fond memories of dipping smelt, and starting when I was a little kid with my dad out at Porter Creek in Advance, and on into my teenage years when we all the way up to college years, heading to the UP and filling the back of a pickup truck with smoke. So lots of memories. And then cleaning them with scissors. So at this point, I would entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve the request of the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce
that the City Commission approve Winter Festival Smeltania on Saturday, February 27th, to include the use of the pavilion from 1 to 6 p.m. for local restaurant, food, and spirit sales, and the promotion of local shopping and attraction, all in accordance or in compliance with state and local regulations.
Second.
Second by Hugh. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Ed Hammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Thank you. Thanks,
Thank
Kim.
You. Thank yeah. you so much.
No, we're looking forward to this. Let's move on to item C, V plow and truck accessories.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Recently, back at the beginning of January, we picked up our truck that the city had authorized us to purchase earlier this year, our F-250 pickup truck. And so now we'd like to purchase a V plow for it and get the boxes on the back so we can put in parts and tools and stuff, and then a light rack on there with the newer green and yellow flashing lights that most of the vehicles have gone to. So it'd be a rack up against the back window with those flashing lights. We went through and got the quote here from Truck and Trailer. It's $7,395 for the V-plow and $2,335 for the toolboxes, the racks, and the lighting. So we'd like to get that approved and we can get the new truck all set up and out on the road. Be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mark. Is there any other staff members or anybody from the public that wants to comment? Okay, let's go to board deliberation. Start with you, Sally.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay, you?
I'm good.
Ron?
I'm good with it.
Dean?
I'm good with it. I was just kind of curious why procedurally did decide to ask for these items now instead of with the original request to purchase the truck.
Because when we first got the purchase truck, that was back in the spring. And so we were waiting to see once we got it, because we knew there was going to be a delay in getting it here. And so we just waited until we got the truck to start getting this, so we didn't have to store them here somewhere. So now if it's approved, we'll just take it directly to Truck and Trailer and get everything installed right away.
Got it. Thanks.
Thanks, Dean. Yeah, I'm in full support and would entertain a motion.
I would move that the City Commission authorize the City Manager to sign the purchase order to purchase the V-plow, toolboxes, rack and lighting for Truck and Trailer for the amount of $9,730.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Yes, thank you, Carolyn.
Who was the second? I'm sorry.
That was Ron.
Ron.
Thank
you. And roll call, please.
Paige.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye. Okay, thank you, Mark. Moving on to the pumper truck repairs, item D. Chief, you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Okay.
Hi, Dennis.
Yeah. Yes, as my memo states, we took our 99 International fire truck over for its annual service. And while it was there, we found out some other maintenance issues that were needed, including some serious ones, the front and back leaf springs, the rear brakes and drum assembly, and the tie rods, and need to be repaired. And these are eminent repairs that need to be done to keep this truck in condition to operate as safely with the firemen for these scenes we go to. This truck is our number two pumper truck, but it still goes out on most all runs, and it is our number one truck when we go out on mutual aid calls. We do have the money in our budget to cover these repairs. So with your approval, we'd like to proceed with getting this truck back into service from Fick and Sons and Grayling at a cost of $6,507.49.
Thank you, Dennis.
Patrick, do you have that picture of the truck so the commission can see that as well, too? And Tom, if I may for a sec.
Sure, Mike, go ahead.
And Dennis mentioned this during his report, and I just wanted to make sure the commission was clear on this, because lots of times if a fire truck goes down, I'll consider that an emergency repair, and I'll just tell the department heads to go get it done and then bring it to the commission after the fact. As Dennis reported, this is our number two pumper truck, so we have a frontline truck. Is that our 2017 truck, I think it is, Dennis?
2016,
okay. So this is the truck that actually was going to have the repairs. This is a picture that was taken at the repair shop. When Dennis got the quotation for it, the amount was sufficient that I thought should go to the city commission. But because we had the frontline truck still fully operational, we didn't do an emergency transfer or emergency approval this time. But this is a truck. It's still in very good shape. Many years, hopefully, is still ahead of it. But it is our number two truck.
Thank you, Mike. Do we have any other staff members or any members of the audience that would like to comment?
Showing no hands up.
Thanks. Hugh, you want to start?
Sure. That was a question I was going to ask, Mike, so thanks for answering it, because it just seems, you know, we have approved other repairs after the fact, and if it was me, I probably would have approved this. It puts us in a position, there's no way that we could say no to anything like this. So anyway, that's my comment.
Okay, thanks. Ron?
I'm good with it.
Okay. Dean?
I'm good.
Sally?
Good.
I'm in support also and looking for a motion.
I would move the city commission approve maintenance repairs for truck number two at a cost of $6,507.49.
Second.
Second by Dean. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page. Hi.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you.
Let's move on to item E, Planning and Zoning 2020 Annual Report. Scott?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. As required by the Michigan Neighborhood Planning Act, the Planning Commission is required to develop an annual report documenting the activities over the past year and then submit that to the City Commission. There's no requirement for any action by the Commission on a report, just to receive and file for your information. First, I'd just like to thank the Planning Commission for all their hard work over this very unusual year. They had to overcome some pretty significant challenges, as we all have, in regarding the new way we have to do business, and I really was impressed with how they came together and were able to persevere through this last year. In regards to activities, there were a number of pretty significant development plans that we did look at. The Lakeview manufactured housing they had a previous plan approved last year, but it turned out the area that was mitigated for contamination. There were some concerns about developing housing over that. While there was no significant threat now the way it was, if you disturb those soils and put homes over that, there was a potential for contamination to collect in those homes. So the state determined that the housing wasn't suitable, so they went back to the drawing board and removed the houses in that area and developed their community building and other amenities for the park in that area. That resulted in eliminating three of the housing sites from, so it went down from 22 to 19. They did get their final approval from the state and they have began construction, and I anticipate they'll have that expansion completed this summer and hopefully homes starting to move in there in those new sites. The other housing project, the Fox Run manufactured home development, as you recall, that first required a rezoning to the district, which the city commission approved in October. Shortly thereafter, they submitted their preliminary plan for planning commission review, which is required prior to submittal to the state. They did that in October as well, and the planning commission approved that plan. As you may recall, there was 145 units proposed of manufactured homes in here. Last I spoke with the property owner, they are almost completed with the plans and ready for submittal to the state, and hopefully that will be done shortly and they can get that approval and begin construction in the summer and hopefully be able to start setting houses by the fall. Another pretty significant project was the Great Lakes Energy. They had a couple different plan reviews, one for the old building that they renovated for the TruStream activities, and then the more major project, which was the expansion of their facility, basically adding about 100,000 square feet definitely enlarging their footprint in the city. And so it was a great project. The Planning Commission reviewed this and approved the plan, and they started construction shortly thereafter. Hopefully the construction will continue with completion in this upcoming summer. And we did have one preliminary review for the site at 200 Airview Drive. There was a potential property owner going to purchase that property and redevelop it. And the interesting thing about that request is that they were looking at perhaps including some kind of residential component to that. Currently the ordinance doesn't allow for that, but there was a good discussion at the Planning Commission about that. It was a consensus of the commission at that time. They didn't really support residential components in that way, but there may be some way to integrate some residential uses in the park. So we may explore that further. I have seen some other communities that have had residential components in their industrial park. So I may want to look at those and see if we could perhaps use those as a model and have this discussion in the future. The property maintenance code was adopted after several years of reviewing and exploring the best options for the city. With that adoption, we have, and the direction of the city commission about the enforcement policy, we have begun looking at potential violations to follow up on, and there have been several. All of these are single family dwellings that are vacant and been deteriorating or have been deteriorated. A couple of these properties that have been followed up on were already in the pipeline, and we did enforcement actions under the previous dilapidated buildings ordinance, and then that's following up with this ordinance. So so far it's been a good response, and I hope to continue that as we move forward. As you know, the zoning barriers was adopted in January and became effective in February. It's kind of a weird year to really evaluate the impact of these various ordinances, given the COVID situation and the shutdown, and then the increase in building materials and costs. It's really seen an impact on construction throughout the city. So as we move forward, hopefully we can see better evaluate how these have help develop additional housing in the city. Let's see, what else we got here? We did review the master plan. It turned 5 years old last year, and in September that was reviewed by the Planning Commission. In that regard, they determined that no major changes were required at this time. But in regards to the identification of the redevelopment ready sites in the master plan, it was determined that the best approach to remove that from the master plan, refer to those in the master plan, but have a separate list that you can update annually without having to go back and go through the adoption and amendment process of a master plan. So we have looked at some potential sites and we're continuing to review those for a list. And then once we get that finalized, we'll contact the state with which ones are identified as our priority sites. The planning department continues to work with the Marijuana Public Engagement Task Force, which Mike touched on a little earlier in his report, and also the Boyne Housing Solutions group. As you know, Steve Schnell has taken over the responsibility of hosting those meetings, and he has been a great asset and an advocate for housing, and we really appreciate his efforts. We continue to work on a number of grants for various departments. Patrick has been a huge help in this, and he really has been a great benefit in obtaining a lot of dollars for the city. The big one, the Boyne City, the Boyne Vale Trail is almost wrapping up. As you recall, last meeting, the commission agreed to do a boundary amendment for the trail that would include an additional section that could be funded by any remaining funds in the trust fund. We did extend the grant until July 31st, but did not submit that boundary amendment as of yet. So if there's still an opportunity to perhaps tweak that or change it in some way, so if it's ultimately not determined that the way it was laid out to go forward with that. The Planning Commission is fully staffed. We have 9 members now, with a couple of new members being appointed this last year. And then the Zoning Board of Appeals, I believe, is one person short. I don't think they had much activity over the past year. The Planning Department continues to be staff support for the Historic District Commission. They did have one application for a new dwelling that will be located at 413. This was a lot that Gal Lichtenberger owned and split off from his property, and I was going to build a house there. The Historic District did a review of that and approved his certificate of appropriateness for it, and now he's moving on to getting his permits to build the house. Over the past year, the number of permits were down a little bit, probably about 20%. Probably we can attribute that to the strange year we all had, still it was a good year in regards to the number of permits that were issued. So that's a kind of it in a nutshell. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, let's open it up to anybody from the audience and or other staff members.
Seeing no hands raised.
Thank you. Ron?
I'm good.
Dean?
I had a couple of comments and a question. My comments were that, you know, this is a, you know, first of all, I agree with you, Scott. This was a busy year for the Planning Commission, did remarkable work. I might have mentioned this in previous years, but I think there would be an advantage or it'd be worthwhile to develop not only the annual report at the end as required by statute, but a Planning Commission plan of work for the coming year that is perhaps shared with the with us as the City Commission to kind of set forth some goals outside of the regular work that's done in approving or reviewing applications. As part of that, of course, is a training, and I think it'd be worthwhile to be perhaps more, even more purposeful in trying to come up with training opportunities, agreed on training opportunities for the commission. What I'm thinking of specifically, you know, based on last year's efforts was, is something having to do with the zoning ordinance amendments, especially rezonings, something that would help build our capacity to to do a better job, if you will, of both reviewing those requests on the Planning Commission level and the City Commission level as well. Those are my comments. My one question is related to the new maintenance code. I know we made a commitment as part of that approval to review after 6 months. I can't remember exactly what month that would hit in. And I wonder if you could clarify that.
Well, I think it was ultimately determined that I would include this as part of the annual report. And then we can supplement that. It became effective in September. So that would put it about March. I think putting this in this annual report, you know, met that goal of having a 6 month update.
I guess my comment would be that I think we need to go a little bit farther than that, given that there were individuals in our community, quite a few who are really quite concerned about it, that we schedule mm-hmm. that for one of our meetings. And, you know, we don't want to go into inappropriately too much detail about specific enforcement actions, but having an agenda item where we can invite those who are most concerned so that they can hear about how we're implementing the ordinance in accordance with the Planning Commission or the City Commission guidelines.
Okay, I will work with the city manager and find an appropriate time to put that on agenda.
Thanks, I'm good.
Thanks, Dean. Sally?
I'm good.
Hugh?
Yeah, I would second Dean to have a time in the near future where we could discuss the property maintenance code. And Scott, I was just wondering, when you were talking about it, you mentioned there had been good response. Was that people are responding to the work that you're requiring to do under the property maintenance code? I wasn't sure what good response meant.
People are making improvements where requested, or we are being able to take action where needed.
The other thing I was wondering if in the future, if we have the 2020 enforcement activity, if it's possible to have a chart that, you know, has a couple of years prior just to see trends and all that sort of stuff, it would be helpful for me. Okay. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. As the liaison between the City Commission and Planning Commission, and over 30 years on the Planning Commission, I appreciate Scott's efforts. I think it's been a heck of a year under the coronavirus, and Scott and staff has stepped up and addressed a lot of these issues, and keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I think this was a presentation. We don't need a motion. Is that correct? Or do we have to approve this? That is correct. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Scott. Moving on to item F, schedule public hearing of City Township 425 agreement. Mike?
Yes, you have in your agenda packet our recommendation and some background with regards to this. We have worked out a 425 agreement with Boyne Valley Township for the approximately 40 acres that the city and the EDC LDFA purchased immediately east of the mall drive entrance to the business park and north of M75. Currently, we have a business that's looking to locate there, and this would help facilitate that taking place. The state law basically gives the ability for communities to work together, in this case, a city and a township, to share services across boundaries and share revenues and things of that nature in the hopes of fostering economic development. And that's what's being proposed here as well. With regards to this, the state's in adding a piece of property or creating a piece of property that would be part of a 425 has in state law has a process that you have to go through. And the next step of the process would be scheduling a public hearing, which would then be held and as proposed at our regular city commission meeting on February 9th. That's a 7 p.m. meeting. It would be advertised and publicized prior to that taking place. And then we hold the public hearing, and based on the public hearing, the public has 30 days of comment that they can provide after that, at which time this matter could come back before the city commission, and the city commission can consider adopting a resolution to approve the 425 agreement that's been drafted. So that's what the process is, and we're looking to start that today, schedule the public hearing and move it forward. We've included in the agenda packet the proposed 425 agreement, an aerial map that shows the properties that are being discussed as well, and those would be available for the public. And obviously we talk more about the specifics of the 425 agreement during the public hearing. But if people have questions in the meantime, I'd encourage them to give me a call or contact me, and we'd be glad to address any questions that they might have. So we're recommending that the city commission, after your meeting today, schedule the public hearing on the proposed 425 agreement that would take place on February the 9th at 7 p.m. I have communicated this information to the proposed business, to the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance, and to the supervisor and clerk in Boyne Valley Township. So.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Any other staff comments or anybody from the public with us here?
There are no hands raised at this time.
Thanks, Barb. Okay, let's go to board deliberation. Dean?
I'm good with this. I presume, Mike, that there's a parallel process, public hearing and approval process going on in the township. Is that correct?
I would hope so. I haven't received confirmation of that, but Sue seemed pretty up on the requirements. That was one of the reasons I sent them, just so they would know exactly what we're doing and could coordinate the two.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Thanks, Dean. Sally?
Yes, I'm fine with it.
Okay. You?
Mike, I just have one quick question about the aerial. Is the white line going through the middle, is that the bike trail?
Yes, that's the non-motorized trail, correct.
That's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Ron?
I'm going with it.
Okay. Looking for a motion.
I would move that the city commission schedule a public hearing on the proposed 425 agreement with Boyne Valley Township during our 7 p.m. February 9th, 2021 regular meeting, and authorize staff to provide the proper notices.
Thank you, Sally. Second by who?
Hugh.
Second by Hugh. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Okay, thanks. That's another step in the right direction. Moving on to good of the order. Sally, you got anything?
No, not at this time.
Hugh?
Just a couple things. Mike, I'm wondering if sometime in the near future we could talk about the parking study, the 2018 parking study, just to see where we are with that. I noticed the Theater Marquee is still wishing people happy holidays, and you know, I'm not sure how often we're going to change the message. And then digging around with the annual planning report, I ran across that Evangeline Township was going to do a master plan, trails master plan of some sort, and I just wonder if that's been completed or there could be any update on that. And then looking at the picture of the electric station there, I noticed the old red building in dire need of repair or paint. And I just wondered if that was something under property maintenance code that, that could be encourage some improvement to that. That's all, thank you.
Thanks, you. Ron?
Well, glad to see you all.
Nice to see you too, Ron. Actually, we can. Ron is there.
I broke down and used my iPad and tried that out, so.
Yep, I see you.
Anyways, I'm kind of a laptop. And sorry I held everybody up today.
No problem, Ron. Glad you could make it. Dean?
I'm good.
Okay, I have one item. It's the time of year that we need to discuss the evaluation of Mike Kane's performance. A year ago, we had Dean and Hugh represent the commission in talking with Mike over the process. Mike, I think we need to activate the process again. Do you have any comments on that?
I think it's time.
Okay. What do I need to do to start the process?
Well, I guess it all depends on the commission's preferences. If there's any, if the committee needs to be reactivated to review the process before it goes out again, or to initiate the process.
I'd like to initiate the process to keep it timely on our calendar. Commissioners, do you want to go through the process of electing two more commissioners to review the process, or should we move forward? I'm opening it up to discussion, and or we can you can think about it. We can come back at the next meeting too. So.
Yeah, you know, I think that we did a pretty good review of the process and modified it just a little bit a year or so ago. And so I think it's probably worthwhile to go ahead and implement it for this year.
Okay.
I would agree with Dean.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that because just the year we've had, I think we had a very successful year in spite of the virus. And I think any implementation that we did 1 year ago, it needs more than 1 year to work its way through the process. So I guess I would recommend, Mike, that the process begins and you can start that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hearing as a consensus. I didn't know if Ron had anything he wanted to add, but I heard from everybody else saying that.
Ron, you okay with that?
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
So I guess the only question would be who Tom, would you like to have represent the commission?
Well, what I'm hearing is we may not need somebody if we just implement the process. So Mike would...
The way I would anticipate it, and you know, we can revise it if necessary, would be that if we're using the same format that we did last year, I would go and update with the document with the dates on it, get that to the city commission. That could possibly be done before the end of this week or the first part of next week at the latest, give a time frame. And then what usually happens is that those are turned in the sealed documents to the city clerk treasurer. And then those are kept until what's traditionally happened is the mayor and I get together and we come up with the scoring of the documents, get that, incorporate any comments that are received from the commissioners, share that information with the city commission, and then we have a meeting to review that. So I don't know if there's anything that needs to be appointed for at this point. I think the process should flow fairly smoothly and directly, unless there's something I'm missing.
No, thanks for that reminder. That clarifies it.
Yeah, I would agree that that's the process that's in place, and we heard consensus that we don't really need an appointed committee. So I'd say let's move forward with the process that you just described.
Shall do.
Okay.
And that was going from memory. So I was glad I was hopefully fairly correct on that.
Okay. Moving on to announcements. The next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for February 9th at 7 p.m. And that's the meeting where we're going to have the public hearing for the 425 agreement.
Correct.
Okay. Anything else? At this point, it is 1:23, and I will make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Thanks, everybody.
Caroline, before you go, Mike, when the packet's sent out from Jessica, and it's happened before, it's in a WinMat format on my iPad that I can't open.